voters in Wisconsin approved two referendums last week that amended the state constitution when it comes to the cash bail system. The amendments focus on the conditions under which a person can be held in custody on cash bail and the factors a judge can consider in setting the bail amount. After the referendums passed, Governor Tony Evers signed onto a law that was passed by the Republican-controlled state legislature. It clarifies where and how these constitutional amendments will be applied. The bill had some bipartisan support, but opponents of the changes fear that the cash bail system will be harder on low-income offenders compared to those who can afford to pay a higher cash amount. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you vote to support those amendments to the cash bail system? Why or why not? What are you hoping to see change as a result? Do you think these changes go far enough? Do you have questions about the bail system, how it works, what it's meant for? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Cecilia Klingel is an associate professor at the University of Wisconsin Law School, where she teaches criminal law, constitutional criminal procedures, sentencing, and corrections. Cecilia, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
I have read and heard, Cecilia, a lot of different reads on how big a deal these changes are. What is your take on that? How much actually changes with these now passed and signed into law?
I think we'll have to wait to see how much judges rely on these changes in law. They certainly do, however, pretty significantly expand the ability of judges to use cash bond in criminal cases.
Can you talk about the original intent of cash bonds and bail systems? My understanding was it wasn't so much about the threat a criminal suspect might have to the public. It was a threat that they might not show up for their trial.
That is correct. And I think there's a lot of public confusion on this point. Often when people want to see cash bond used in criminal cases, what they really mean is that they think people shouldn't be released pre-trial, that they have safety concerns about people who aren't yet convicted being in the community while they're waiting to go to trial and be convicted or acquitted from criminal charges. But because people who have been charged with crimes haven't been found guilty yet of committing a crime, we presume them to be innocent. And innocent people don't get to be detained except in very special circumstances. We do have a law in Wisconsin, like most states, that under certain circumstances says that people can be held without any kind of bond whatsoever. However, most people charged with most crimes are supposed to be released into the community. And what we can do is have conditions that we place on them that are designed to keep people reasonably safe. Cash bond is one of those conditions that can be imposed, but the way it works usually is that it's supposed to incentivize people's appearance in court to make sure that they actually do show up and let the state make its case against them. And so for that reason, if people don't show up and they've been required to pay cash, they'll forfeit it. That's the way it's supposed to work. It's not supposed to, however, be set in an amount that people couldn't reasonably pay.
One concern that people have been raising for years is if you rely on cash bond, it could create, in effect, a two-tier justice system. An offender without lots of money stays in jail until their trial. A person with sufficient amount of money can walk free until their trial. How big a concern do you see that being?
That is a real concern, and there is good research that suggests that, in fact, that is what happens. Although the law requires that bail be set in reasonable amounts, reasonable is a broad term. And for many people, even a small or modest amount of cash bond may be more than they're able to come up with. The majority of people who are processed by the criminal system are people of very little financial means. And as a result, even modest cash bond amounts may be too much and people will sit detained. We know that when people are detained, all sorts of things happen. They can lose their jobs and their homes. They're more likely to plead guilty, not just because of the charges against them, but because it's harder often to develop facts to use in one's defense and for other reasons as well. And so it is a real concern that people who have money and can post bond are often at an advantage throughout the criminal process compared to those who can't. That can create inequity and also create other concerns too about who it is that we release and under what conditions.
Talking to Cecilia Klingel, associate professor at the UW Law School, looking at bail, cash bail in Wisconsin. Two constitutional amendments related to that issue passed last week, implementing laws signed into effect also last week. You can join in with your thoughts on that. Are you happy to see these changes? Do you have concerns about them? Do you have questions about how all this actually works in practice? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And if you've participated in this, if you have been subject to a cash bond yourself, or you've been a victim of a crime where the perpetrator was, or you work in the system, love to hear your experience at 800-642-1234. Cecilia, the concern, part of the concern that drove this came from the Waukesha Christmas vehicle attack. The perpetrator there had been out on what people perceived to be a low bail that didn't take into account a history of violence. What do you make of that concern that if we don't take these things into account enough, we may put the public at risk?
Well, so I think a few things. One, it's always a little bit dangerous to make law based on very unusual cases. That said, it's true that we need to be attentive to public safety concerns and that it does happen in our system that sometimes people who are accused of crimes but not yet convicted have past histories and may be facing current charges that implicate the safety of individuals within the community. My concern is that the answer to that is not necessarily broadening cases in which we use cash bond, because again, cash isn't meant to detain people, but rather it would be examining that other statute that I mentioned that allows us under certain circumstances to deny release altogether and not simply make it available to those who have more means than others. That statute we haven't amended, and there have been criticisms that it is both too narrow in some ways and that it's a little bit procedurally clunky in others. And that might have been a better place to focus our reform efforts.
On a related note, one of the changes that did happen was changing a phrase from serious bodily harm to now just serious harm in assessing a bail amount, again, with that risk to the public in mind. Is that a significant change, taking out that one word, bodily, and just saying serious harm?
So it might be, and that doesn't just apply to cash, that applies to the conditions that are set. So serious bodily harm is a term that isn't defined by the statute specifically, but that some judges took to mean that they could only set conditions for people on bond when we thought that they posed a risk of injuring people to in a really serious and protracted way. Of course, we want to be attentive to other kinds of harm as well. And also, again, I keep coming back to the fact that we presume that people are innocent. We don't get to punish them before they're convicted. And so what I think the legislature was trying to do was give judges a little bit more discretion in setting all kinds of conditions, both cash and other restrictions on people's liberty, in cases where they had concerns about harm to the community, but not necessarily harm that would land someone in a hospital, for example. Now, of course, you can make that too broad and, again, restrict people's liberty in a way that's punitive, which we're not supposed to do under the law. And I think that we will, again, have to rely, as we often do in the criminal system, on the wise use of discretion by prosecutors and by judges in not setting conditions that are overly restrictive.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Chris is with us in Menominee. Chris, hi.
Hi. Say, I was wondering if your guest could perhaps speak to the advent of the bail bonds industry and their impact on whether they would be for or against the cash bail system, the pros and cons of that. It seems to me that, you know, they may have a kind of a clear agenda in these people remaining in jail or going to jail and receiving a cash bond just because it's advantageous for a business. So maybe Chris, if you could speak to that a little bit.
Thanks for the call. And Cecilia, you know, we see in the movies those bail bondsmen, usually called bail bondsmen. We don't have that exactly here in Wisconsin, do we?
We do not. You are correct. We are one of only several states that does not permit the use of bail bondsmen. And I think that that's something we should probably be proud of because the caller is correct. That there are all sorts of incentives that can enter the system when we have profit motives involved that aren't focused on kind of the core concerns of bail, which again is making sure that people show up to court in order to answer for the charges against them. One thing that we have seen here in Wisconsin without the use of bail bonds, people, is that when our judges do set bond, it tends to be in more modest amounts than we might see in jurisdictions where bail bonds people often will take on the role of posting bond, but then people are required to pay them usually some fraction of the full bond amount. That tends to drive up the amount that courts often set for bond. And we don't have that kind of inflation in our courts, which seems to me a good thing.
Chris, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to UW-Madison Law Professor Cecilia Klingel about the state's cash bail system and how it changes after two constitutional amendments passed in last week's election. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you think the cash bail system should work in Wisconsin? Or would you like to see something apart from that? More of a question of, okay, is it safe to have this person in public or not? Forget the money side of it. How would you like to see that evaluated? What questions do you have for our guest about how all of this works? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Cecilia Klingel. She teaches about criminal law and procedure as an associate professor in the UW Law School. With us today to explore how cash bail works in Wisconsin and how it's changing after voters approved a pair of constitutional amendments last week. Still time for you to join in with your questions, your thoughts on the outcome of those votes, your maybe experiences with that system at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Gary is with us in Brookfield. Gary, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I have two questions for the guest. The first question is, I had the perception that up until the referendum and reading up on the referendum, the judges were allowed to take into consideration the crime and the past history of the individual who committed the crime when they set bail. And I'm wondering if the reason why I had that perception has to do, does Wisconsin or did Wisconsin differ from other states in America because of that? And so that was the perception. I will admit, I didn't think that, I thought judges could take that into consideration, and I learned because of the referendum that that wasn't the case.
Gary, thanks a lot for the call. Cecilia, did judges, pre-referendum, have some of that discretion that Gary's talking about?
So they did. You weren't wrong, Gary. Here's how it worked. Before the amendment passed, there were three reasons and only three reasons why judges could choose to impose cash bond and other conditions too. One is so the reason you could impose cash was if someone was going to fail to appear in court. You could impose conditions of any kind if also there was a concern about the intimidation of witnesses or that someone was going to cause serious bodily harm to someone during that pretrial period. What the amendments have done is expand the list of considerations for when you can impose conditions, including cash bond, to a broader range of circumstances. But even before the amendment, of course, judges, when deciding whether or not you are likely to intimidate witnesses or cause serious bodily harm, or even fail to appear in court, would often look at your history. So for example, a common scenario would be that if someone has a history of escape charges, then and a history of failure not to appear in court, then it would have been more likely that that person was going to receive cash bond from the very beginning. And in deciding whether the other factors had been met, someone's criminal history would also have been considered. The amendment just makes that explicit and, again, sort of broadens the range of circumstances in which any kind of condition can be imposed and cash can be used.
Thanks for the call, Gary. And Cecilia, Gary wondering, in general, how does Wisconsin compare to other states in the practical use of those that discretionary power? We already talked about the bail bond system, which we don't have in Wisconsin. Anything else stand out to you notable about Wisconsin versus the rest of the country?
Well, bond is a really big topic of law reform right now. I think one thing that is notable is that our state just expanded the circumstances in which courts can impose cash bond, whereas the general trend in law reform is toward limiting the circumstances in which cash can be used. So this is a little bit against the grain of the momentum that we're seeing around the country. But again, it's an area of just great flux in the law. And I think states are experimenting broadly with different approaches to bond.
A big question, Cecilia, is does changing our cash bond system one way or another affect public safety? I'm guessing there's probably been research on that. It's probably a tough subject to research. Do we know much?
Well, I think we know a lot about little pieces, right? And the thing about crime is that it's not monolithic. Every crime is unique. There are different patterns among people who are perpetrating crime. Like misdemeanors are not the same as felony offenses. Crimes that involve interpersonal violence are not the same as crimes that are committed when people are having a mental health crisis or other complicated situational factors. And so because of that, you can't give one simple answer to the question of public safety. I think what we do know, though, is that looking at case-specific facts and making decisions about imposing conditions that are narrowly tailored to the facts in front of us is helpful in making sure that our system is both protecting our community as reasonably as we can, while also making sure that we're paying attention to people's procedural rights and that we're being fair in the way that we're deciding criminal cases and limiting the liberty of people who are accused of committing crime.
You know, it sounds like a judge might have a fair amount of discretion here. And if I'm, awaiting trial, my outcome is going to be pretty different when it comes to cash bail and release if I get this judge or the one in the next county or even the one in the next courtroom. How much variability is there from one judge to the next?
I mean, decision makers matter, right? Our selection of judges matters. Our selection of prosecutors matters. And we do in the American criminal legal system rely heavily on the wise and prudent judgment, the discretion of people who have been charged with exercising authority, so prosecutors and judges in particular, and what you're charged with, even when we look at police, whether you're arrested, whether your case is referred for criminal charging, all of these things can vary depending on the decision maker who's in front of us, which is why it's really important that we have public servants who are paying attention to the law and thinking wisely about how to balance all of these competing interests.
We heard from Anna in Janesville who couldn't stay on the line. She's wondering if there will be an impact on taxpayers if more people are being held in jails on cash bond instead of being released. Is that a possible impact?
Well, the mechanism by which that would happen would be that if we're detaining more people, obviously our jails would then be more full and they would have more capacity constraints. We'd have to think about either expanding them or thinking about alternatives to traditional detention. And certainly that has implications for taxpayers. Again, we're worry. In a time when people are generally across the country trying to think about how to rely less on incarceration, particularly for pretrial populations, people who haven't been convicted of any offense yet. And I think that those kinds of conversations are going to continue. And depending on how much judges choose to impose cash bond, the new law change allows them to do so, but it doesn't require them to do so. However, if we have more people detained, then yes, our counties are going to have difficult conversations about how to make sure that we're detaining people in a way that's humane.
In our last minute and a half or so, Cecilia, we've mentioned a couple times, you know, there's cash bail, but you mentioned there are other conditions that a judge can impose when someone is released and awaiting trial. What are some examples of those kind of conditions that might be put on someone?
So there's a wide range, everything from curfews to limits on locations that people can go. Often there can be limits on people with whom you can interact. So it's very common, for example, to bar people from interacting with co-defendants or with the putative victims of their crimes. Things of that nature. It can include sometimes things like GPS monitoring, restrictions on the consumption of alcohol or other substances, things of that nature.
Briefly, Cecilia, what are you watching for as these constitutional amendments come into practice?
So I'm going to be really interested to see to what degree it actually changes the practice of our magistrate judges in setting bond. Again, as I said earlier, the new changes give judges wider discretion in making decisions about what conditions to, when to impose conditions, what conditions to impose, and whether or not to use cash. But we don't know yet how, if at all, actual practice will be affected by these legal changes.
Cecilia, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Cecilia Klingel, associate professor at the University of Wisconsin Law School, where she teaches on criminal law, constitutional criminal procedure, sentencing, and corrections. She was with us today to look at how the state constitutional amendments passed last week by voters will change the cash bail system here in Wisconsin. You can keep sharing your thoughts, maybe your experiences in that system, at ideas@wpr.org.